Welcome back, Power Hour Nation. Joining us now for the second half of the show is going to be Jack Mullen, the great American patriot. And, you know, I have to just say, you know, that you can feel just really, really good knowing that there's people like that sacrificing to think, to write, to strive, to save humanity, to save our respective countries. It just humbles me that I know people like that. And, you know, another one is Scott Bennett. He was writing me, telling me about how his mother passed away, and I sent some very gracious condolences because our mothers, mine's gone since 2008, but our mothers made us a lot of what we are. Humble, decent women, doing what was right, sometimes sacrificing hard because, you know, money just didn't fall out of the skies because we're not the criminal political class. We actually work for a living and things like that. And the fact that we can stand up and believe in high moral values, regardless of what comes along, deal with any type of adversity. And my grandmothers were like that even more. And I look at today that, you know, how things just fold into the mud. And there just seems to be a great shortage of mothers like that. And that's probably, you know, maybe what got me to write those words to him is it's because of her that we got you. And you're the warrior to lead this nation out of the abyss for the hells that they put him through. You know, they always said behind every good man, there has to be a good woman. It could be a wife, could be a mother, could be a sister, could be a friend. But, you know, if it wasn't for her, how much would we have lost on the battlefield for truth without him? You know, I was at the dentist this morning. My dental hygienist is like that. She's one of those kind of mothers. And, you know, it just makes me feel proud, especially when you find one younger than you, just to say, I am so happy that, you know, you put your kids in a special school. They're not in the just desecrated school system we have today. Hitler used to fascinate about that. He said, I don't care about you. You'll grow old, you'll wither, you'll die, but I've got your children, and they're in my school. Well, now, this criminal left have got our children in their schools. And I was talking to Jack kind of on the, because we like old movies, showing our age. I didn't even think that they could be called old movies. I thought old movies were the stuff my father watched, not that I watched when I was younger. But Trudeau made his great reconciliation speech and reminded me of Hondo from Blazing Saddles. You know, there was noise coming out the back end from eating too many beans, and that's what Trudeau's speech sounded like to me. Probably smelled the same, too. And then Jack loved that movie, and he sent me, you know, some lines that, you know, I probably can't say them all because it's family radio overall, but, you know, he just said, I want rustlers, cutthroats, murderers, bounty hunters, desperados, mugs, pugs, thugs, nitwits, halfwits, dimwits, vipers, snipers, conmen, Indian agents, Mexican bandits, muggers, buggerers, bushwhackers, hornswogglers, horse thieves, beep, train robbers, bank robbers, beep kickers, and Methodists. And, you know, I just fall on the floor and you're going like, isn't that the CV of somebody running for the Democratic Party? And maybe that's not good enough. You got to have a special stamp from the SA-10 company to say that you are a certified rustler, cutthroat, murderer, bounty hunter, etc. Although bounty hunters are good guys, they're doing a good job. Actually, one of my favorite movies, that's another one, goes back a long time, was The Hunter with Steve McQueen, where he's the bounty hunter. It's hilarious. You know, it's kind of like stand-up comedy, alpha male stuff. But Jack's here, and, you know, he's got some words to share with us, you know, about the economy and where we're headed. And, you know, that don't sound too good either. And what do we got to say, Jack?
Well, thank you for that introduction. And,
you're none of the above.
Hello.
None of the above.
Oh, I know that. Yeah. But I am an admirer of Mel Brooks in that movie, and I don't know how many times I watched it. There was a point in my life, and you probably were the same way, where you were in that late stage of high school, early college, where there wasn't anything really wrong in the world, and you had a bunch of friends, and you watched different movies, and a couple of my friends and I watched that movie, and we became experts at almost every line in it. And that was one of the movies. Another was Caddyshack, but you know, you could remember every line in it, and there was always a time when something was appropriate to say one of the lines from that, from the movie. And I really enjoy that movie. I like that scene where they're hanging people when they've got the line looks like it goes back for miles. You're going to hang horses and old women in rocking chairs. And and he says something like, I couldn't possibly get him in until next Tuesday, sir. We're all backed up. Somebody wanted to hang somebody at that moment. They're going to have to take a number. Anyway, that kind of reminds me of the world we live in today. It's, you got to take a number, because before long, I think we're all going to be standing in that hangman's line. But I was talking to you a little bit off. I know you had some comments in the first hour about the economy, and I've always been interested in the economy. And even before I knew it was completely rigged, and I thought, you know, for a long time in my life that the free market would trump, if you don't mind that word, the manipulated market, that there were certain aspects of a free market that would maintain control of reality, whether or not it was manipulated or not. I still agree that that is the case, but I no longer believe that it's something as simple as I thought it was, because for years and years and years, and as far as the price of silver and gold, especially they've been manipulating the price of these commodities. And I just noticed today that gold was up a bit. It's over $1,500, and silver's at 1,803. And it's just interesting to me that they've been able to maintain these prices, especially of silver, for the last 8 years, 10 years, without, you know, hardly any fluctuation. Since 2013, the drive-by massacre that happened to silver, or right after they pretended to kill Osama bin Laden again, which kind of reminds me of al-Baghdadi. I think he really should have been named al-Balonium, but that's a precious metal, which is made of mostly baloney. Anyway, silver now, I mean, the shocking thing about silver, and we've had this conversation before, so I don't want to be repetitive, but right now the 24-hour gold to silver ratio is 83.7, and had been up earlier at 84. Now, you know, in the history of the world, this has never happened, at least not in the history that we have been writing. Maybe the last time the world collapsed, it may have, but it's just an incredible ratio. I mean, I say it over and over and over. I'm not a financial – I don't offer financial advice. But if you have, you know, you might want to take some of those ounces out and convert them into silver, because when this thing comes down eventually, and we'll just have to wait patiently. I was not very good at being patient back in 2008 when I thought it was all done then. But when this thing does come down, you know, the silver's value is not going to be anything that you can even imagine. I mean, it'll be priceless, and there'll be a period of time when nobody will give up an ounce of their silver for any reason whatsoever. And so I just find it amazing. I know the prices are totally manipulated at this moment. They can make the price of silver zero. They can make the price of gold zero, or they can make it, you know, what it should be. But for whatever reason, they are moving the price of silver and gold up, and I think that has something to do with foreshadowing. It gives the papers like Yahoo, you know, or the articles online and the other financial newspapers like Bloomberg, et cetera, gives those people who write those ridiculous articles every day why the stock market went up or why it went down, or why investors are worried about China or worried about interest rates, and, you know, therefore the price of silver went down and up. And, of course, that's all total nonsense. And I do recall, you know, I would have argued with that 10 years ago, that these prices have some basis. In reality, they do not. And there's nothing that we have as a commodity that we can get our hands on that is actually priced in terms of its real market value. And there's no real costs. There's no real sales numbers anymore. I mean, it's the corruption has gone to the point where I guess everyone is, you know, now got the train on autopilot, and everybody's in the back drinking, and it's just heading for the the bridge that fell apart at the top. But the financial system is in its last legs, and it cannot be sustained. It can be sustained for some period of time, correct, but it can't be sustained for another 10 years. And so the sort of thing that we're seeing now is the rats and the mice and everybody's leaving the ship. People are selling. I think I saw the other day the European Union European Central Bank buying gold, which is something they haven't done in maybe 20 years. And I don't even know who's going to sell them any gold, but it is a bad time if you are holding all your assets in dollars. And I'm not a financial advisor by any means. I have an MBA. I've always been interested in financial markets, but I know that if it were me, a certain percentage of my assets would be out of the dollar or out of any basic Western paper currency and into something else, property, food plants, and gold and silver. And certainly I would be into silver. And I just find it interesting that we see Deutsche Bank today saying that they missed earnings targets, et cetera, holding a collection of derivatives that is explosive in size, that they connect to every other major bank in the world through these derivatives. I mean, the banks are so nervous now they won't even borrow from themselves. They have to go to the Federal Reserve. That's why the repo window is constantly running credit shortage and having to be bailed out. And most people don't know that the federal government through the Federal Reserve is, and they're not federal, by the way, bails out these repo windows every three or four days or so, and has been since late in September. So, but I see this article in Zero Hedge: Deutsche Bank tumbles after bad bank posts negative revenue. iBanking profit plunges 73%. And whatever any of that nonsense means, the bottom line is that Deutsche Bank can be used as a reason why this derivative nightmare takes off, and we wake up tomorrow morning and we're told that everything's bankrupt. Your pension funds are gone and all the banks are broke. And so anyway, that's enough of that. I'm just interested in the markets, and I see that there's lots of interesting things happening in the world of gold and silver. And if you see silver and gold being allowed to go up a little, I think that's their message to you that, that something in the background is happening. We're going to let this go up a little bit as a signal to the industry. I don't know. But anyway, we were going to talk about a bunch of other stuff. And
well, let me get into a little bit like that, too, because you start, okay. Sound like my grandfather used to tell me. He survived the Depression, and, so you brought up a lot of his key points. So he said very specifically, the price of gold and silver doesn't matter for anything, because once you left the dollars and or whatever else you're in, and you've gone to gold and silver, you're in the world of ounces. And that ounce is going to be an ounce from the day it was minted until the day it's melted. And so don't fuss too much about what they say the dollars are worth. Just be glad you got the ounces, and the more the merrier. And the same with the acre of land. An acre of land is an acre of land. And the beauty of it is, one, you want it to be yours, and two, you can plant seeds in it and grow your food. And that's very important, too, that you have that land. Traditionally, in the past, investors used to say, 10% of your assets should be in precious metals or something like that. And I'd probably go, in this era, the way things are going, you probably couldn't have enough if you're preparing for a storm, because this can be converted instantly to whatever cash you got if it hits the fan. But when you look at countries that have already gone down the drain, and, sometimes, you find an old coin from a long time ago, like one that I bought was a Mexican 1 peso gold coin. Well, 1 peso today doesn't get you too much, let me tell you. But, you've got it in gold, and you look at what it's worth and how many pesos it's worth when because it's in U.S. dollars there, that was a hedge, a real hedge against inflation and the degradation of your currency. And, my grandfather told me when they changed the money, that's the time to start sweating. And in Canada, they did that in 1967, where they reduced the silver content in the coins significantly. And then over the years, they went from silver to nickel and copper, and then they got rid of nickel and copper because even that's too much. And they just make coins out of rusty steel and put pretty pictures on them with paint. And so basically you have nothing at all that has any intrinsic value. I guess you could always use it as shrapnel, you know, cut it up, and you got steel shot to shoot ducks or something like that. It's probably cheaper than buying the shells at the store, as they usually charge way too much for that. So maybe that's what you can use it for. But this happened. Like, if I was a kid back in those days, and instead of putting money in the bank, that I kept our dollar coins. At that time, a Canadian dollar was 60% silver. So I'd have 6/10 of an ounce of silver with each coin. And I put that away instead of putting money in the bank. And that, you know, I think I saved up $2,000. So if you had $2,000 of those, you know, silver dollars, that means something. And even still today, that I'm protected against inflation and all the things that have come along. And, you know, but I didn't know back then. You know, you're just a kid, and what do you know? But it was just the coin of the realm. They changed it to something else, and then, you know, you're scratching your head. Grandpa said that wasn't a good thing. And he was right. And a lot of the young people today are getting into the cryptocurrency. Probably never seen silver or gold to ever hold it in their hands. You pick up one of those silver dollars, and it's only 6/10 of an ounce of silver and then some other metals, but it's still got the weight of like a 1 ounce silver coin. You pick that up, there's something there in your hand. You know you got something. You pick up the other, you know, like my buddy in the Navy who used to go to all kinds of countries. When the ships left, they'd call the coins they had left over shrapnel, because that's all it is, really. It's just garbage metals with different kings, poobahs, presidents, or whatever on them. Maybe in languages you don't even understand, but they mean nothing. But you go back to, like, the trade days of gold. Didn't matter what country you went to, the coin had the same weight of gold. So you could have an Austrian trade ducat, you know, Italian lira, French francs, the British sovereign or something like that, but there was an intrinsic weight of gold that didn't matter who's on the pictures on it or what language it's in, but you know you got that weight and it means something, it has value, and it's in your pocket. And in those good old days, maybe your trusty revolver was in there too, so you got your own security to protect it. And this has all gone out the window. And, you know, I feel so sorry for young people that they have no concept of the financial instruments of the past that are what I call gold and silver the lifeboat. It's your lifeboat. And when the ship sinks, you can be on the most beautiful, beautiful ship in the world with the finest service, but when you're in the water, it's either you're in the water by yourself or you're in the lifeboat. You want to be in the lifeboat. And you know, food and other barterable items from like the black market economies or something, liquor and cigarettes was always big in black market economies, that you got something that you can barter for or trade to keep yourself alive and survive. And this is lost. It is really lost.
Yep. And if we're going to stay on this topic for a second, over the years I've written a number of different articles about the comparisons between nothing of value, which is what the U.S. dollar is, and what the U.S. coins are now. Like you, the United States lost its silver content back in 1964, wherein it was, you know, approximately 70%. Now we have things that remind me of plastic with some sort of metallic cover over top of it. But the interesting thing about gold and silver is that it's always been a currency. It's always had some value. But more interestingly is that silver is more of a useful metal than gold, and it has been always the protector of the common man. We've always seen throughout history that the common man was able to save his rear end when his currency was worthless by finding and hanging on to silver. And so if you look at silver right now, you know, over the course of history, there was maybe 1,400,000 tons of silver mined. But as a result of using it in products, It's used in almost all, you know, major electronic equipment. It's used in automobiles. It's used everywhere. Some 634,000 tons of it have disappeared, and leaving, and these are numbers that people just guess at, but leaving around 770,000 tons of silver versus 166,000 tons of gold that has been always here. Gold doesn't have any way to, I mean, yeah, people lose gold. There's gold buried all over the place, but I mean, we could dig under the Vatican. We could probably find 2,000 years worth of gold.
the Vatopedi Monastery in Greece. That's where you want to
yes.
go. But you have to have special permission from the Greek government and the Orthodox Church to get up there. But that's where the Templar treasure disappeared to. So after they finished at Davos with the World Economic Forum, all the leaders went there to sit on a wooden bench and eat with a wooden spoon and a wooden bowl. And I always wonder, well, what the hell's going on there? And why would they do that? Like to prostrate themselves almost, because they know they're not religious in any way, shape, or form. But then a buddy of mine who was with the Greek Presidential Guard reminded me that there is tons of gold up there. And that's where the treasure ended up. And they took it up the mountain on donkeys, you know, way back when in the olden days. So there are treasures, and sometimes we just have no idea where they are. But somebody was thinking back then and stowed it away safely. So it's an interesting treasure hunt just to look at that monastery and what's been seconded up there.
Well, we know that a lot of it has been taken away. And so I wrote an article a couple weeks ago because I had seen the Trump economic somebody he had decided he was going to appoint to, as a Federal Reserve Board member. I think it was a woman. Anyway, we talk about it after the break, but she was big on the gold standard, and I wrote an article called On the Fallacy of a Gold Standard, The Pig with a Bright Red Lipstick, because a gold standard is not a good thing, and it's not for the reasons that, you know, you might think it isn't.
Okay, we'll continue on the other side of the break. Thanks for coming out.
Hi, this is Jay at the Pyra Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepyramall.com. That's thepyramall.com. As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Break the bond to Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. get Strauss Heart Drops.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Paramol began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
With dozens of food and storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Humana Food Storage is nutritious, is GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high-fructose corn syrup, has no chemicals, preservatives, or soy. And Humana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. Call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
America made just for you. Food stores I love to eat. Yum!
Welcome back, Power Hour Nation. I'm your guest host from Canada, George Freund. Joining us today, Jack Mullen from the Government Rag, one of the best rags you're ever going to find because it's not a rag. It is actually a source of great information and truth. And, you know, one of the articles that came up in the last little while, too, was like the press freedom attacks in Australia. And you don't know what your freedom is sometimes till they take it away from you. They were raiding newspaper offices, and they were arresting reporters for telling you the truth. God forbid. So I'm glad they don't do that in Canada because, you know, oh, well, what a terrible thing for them. Maybe they'll have to send the SWAT team and put a bulldozer through the front doors of the Toronto Star and shoot the place up with 40-millimeter grenade launchers. But all the newspapers got together and blacked out their article on the front page about this stuff, just to, you know, kind of wake up Australians like, hey, wake up. You know, this is what they're doing to us. And what terrible, terrible news did they have to report? Of course, they're probably violating the Official Secrets Act by getting into stuff like that. It's telling you the government is spying on you. Well, I take that as a given. You know, hey, you know, sometimes, you know, you can't get up and you say, hey, I'm out of toilet paper. You know, next thing you know, boop, 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 somebody's delivering it because the government's spying on you. You know, like, I just take that as a given. And the big thing, you know, when they're spying on you, you got to put out lots of good disinformation to just make it tough for them. You know, don't let them get away too easily. And the other one was that their soldiers committed human rights abuses in Afghanistan. That just goes without saying. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. And when you have a breakdown in society, like a war, and you're in a failed state, human beings go to the lowest common denominator very, very quickly and will do any kind of evil because they can get away with it. And that's probably why the founding fathers thought that Second Amendment was a good idea, because if the bottom ever fell out, well, you know, you form your own band of brothers in your neighborhood, and then you're not exactly in a failed state. You're just in a slightly dysfunctional community because a lot of things you knew in the past don't exist anymore. But you can all work together and form, you know, basically have security, peace of mind. You know, you can hunt together, feed yourselves, and do all sorts of things the way it was like way back in the beginning. And that's just so important. And when you look at that, that's corporate mainstream media getting that treatment. And then you look at, you know, another article that came out, YouTube removed 17,000 channels, 100,000 videos, and 500 million comments for hate speech. I couldn't, you know, sure if some of them were mine maybe, but You know, this is unbelievable because it's that is power. I learned this in a book Jack sent me, and I put it on my website. I got a library section there where I could put PDF files from books, and that one was available. It's called Messengers. Highly recommend you read that. And it got into, like, the power of what you might call predictive programming or whatever, but that our thoughts, our opinions, our ideas can manifest, you know, way beyond what we think they can, and can actually change the cultural current of society. So, you know, they call it the information singularity. But if we learn something, the universe can change. That's why they censor everything, because if you learn something, especially about evil, you can change that and boot evil out and bring in good. And no more liars, cheats, cutthroats, hornswogglers, or whatever. Like, they're, you know, do not apply, you're not required. But time and space are an illusion, side effects of consciousness. There can be manipulation by human will, consciously and subconsciously. So that's why it is so important that they just want you vacillating about completely redundant ideas or, you know, total falsehoods, because then you lose that power. You know, even without the courage, the brain, and the heart, just from the fact that you formed a thought. And maybe that's why Orwell penned so clearly the fact that there's a thought crime. So by us bringing this up and giving your minds liberation, an emancipation proclamation of thought, that you can start harnessing your thought energy to a successful resolution and conclusion of the era we're in, without a financial collapse, without a major world war, with peace and prosperity for all, and with all these evil ones finally, once and for all, locked up, and maybe even standing in line for, you know, the Blazing Saddles, you know, lynch party or whatever it's going to be. And that was one, a joke I came up with one like for that too, is, you know, you tease somebody about the influence. He says, oh yeah, I'm in the loop. I got the rope around my neck. And they kept me in the loop. It's a good thing I had my backup knife to cut it and get out. But we were talking about Seattle and some of the predictive programming elements. So with some in Europe, too. Ole Damgaard was coming out with potential for lots of drills, bringing evil to the world. What can you tell us about some of those?
I can tell you a few little things before, but I want to jump back to two things before we go. TheGovernmentRag.com and blog.thegovernmentrag.com are the two sites that we produce most of our articles to. Belong to Stephanie Sledge, and she just published a book, Citizens Journalists' Exposure of Sandy Hook, and this is a one-of-a-kind piece, something that, you know, is available right now, and we never know how long anything's going to be available. It's available at the site, blog.thegovernmentrag.com, and it's just something that, you know, anybody looking for just a little bit more information on what might have actually happened that day, and the who and how, and definitely why, this is the book to pick up. And I'm going to be shamelessly plugging myself, but I did contribute an article to it, which I'm pretty proud of as well. So anyway, I needed to get that in. You mentioned Messengers of Deception, and I told you when we first started talking together that this book would be very significant to you if you read it. I've kept it around me. I have it in my hands right now. It's called Messengers of Deception, UFO Contacts and Cults. It's by a Frenchman named Jacques Vallée, who was I think he had a PhD in computer science, among other things. He was the inspiration for one of the characters in Close Encounters of the Third Kind. He is I've seen him on YouTube, but anyway, he's a brilliant man. And this particular book, as I mentioned to you, George, is like a shield. And whenever you become lost in some of the various BS that's created today for no apparent reason except to suck your brain down a rabbit hole, this particular book, you know, may be your way back out of that rabbit hole. So I'm glad you enjoyed it and that you brought it up. And then so we get back to these false flags. Yeah, we were talking about 11-3, 2019, which is coming up this Sunday, and the game between the Seahawks and the Buccaneers starts at 4:05 p.m. Seattle time, and or maybe that's Eastern time. That wouldn't make sense. I guess a Sunday night game could start at 7:05. Anyway, it starts at 4:05 p.m. I never bothered to check whether it's Eastern or Seattle time, but I think it's probably Seattle time. That's when the predictive programming suggests that there might be some sort of mass casualty event. We talked about it last time, and people have, you know, probably got the links. If they don't have the links, I've written an article on the blog about it, a recent one, where I talk about the last bits of information that have been brought up about the thing. The article is called "Will Seattle Be Attacked with Heat and Directed Energy Weapon on Sunday, 11/3/19?" And I was telling George that I found an interesting reference to the numbers 3 and 11 in an article that was put out by NPR regarding Trump's supposed killing for the time of Baghdadi, al-Baghdadi. And I never did think al-Baghdadi sounded like a real name. I mean, I can see people chuckling somewhere in the background. But regardless if it's real or not, there was an NPR article, which I don't have it up on my screen right here. I had it, it's disappeared. But anyway, in that article, Trump talks about why he didn't, execute the execution. He attempted it too. He was concerned about some children that were involved. And apparently there were 11 children, and three of those children were taken by Baghdadi into what was called Baghdadi's cage, or the tunnel that he was eventually found in. And so anyway, I saw some people online talking about, you know, how that particular sentence was written with letters instead of numbers. And then there was a comment right after it, and that's the sad part about not having this article, is that in the paragraph it had 11 children were involved and three of them taken down a tunnel, and they were going to experience sudden death. And so anyway, people that, you know, follow this thing and look for clues in the wordage, the twilight language, as you talk about, George, found that interesting that those numbers happen to appear in this particular article. And we know that this article is this idea that Baghdadi has been killed again is something that you would just take with a coin toss. You know, I mean, we know that Osama bin Laden wasn't killed when they were all sitting around in the operation room in the White House that very early that Sunday morning when they were all pretending to watch live stream data from some place. And in fact, they were sitting looking at a blank screen all acting. And so we don't know whether Baghdadi's for real or not. But anyway, that's if you're interested in this thing about Seattle and what might happen there and the clues that people have found, a good place to get some references to it, if you don't have them, would be at the article I have at the blog. And then you can go from there, because there's a lot of people written about it, and it's very, very, very convincing that information has been put into the mind sphere. You know, it's in our collective consciousness for some reason. Whether that's going to happen then or not, we don't know. Then Ole Domegaard, maybe October 23rd or so, he was on various talk shows talking about some clues that he had discovered that had to do with what he believes was going to be a major, major false flag, much larger than 9/11 in Europe. And at the time, he believed that it was going to happen on October 23rd and 4th. And it didn't happen on October 23rd and 4th, but his information is quite credible. And he subsequently has made a new video where he suggests from insiders who are involved with the national security agencies and so forth in Brussels that Yuri may have, or I'm sorry, Ole may have gotten in the way of that he caused some sort of crisis is what he called it, and the people went scrambling and stopped that operation But Ole believes that it is still going to continue. He said that the individual that he got the data from mentioned that there were 500 meetings over the course of like 24 hours after he started coming out with this information about this false flag event. So I don't know, but I know that there's an interesting video that he made with Dr. James Sester on 153 News. And you can find it there pretty easily. It's called Urgent Ole Domegaard Update on NATO False Flag. Anyway, now he's saying that this thing looks like it's still in progress. It's still going to happen. He's saying that it could happen by mid-November. He says it's going to involve five cities and five countries, that it's going to be a super large number of casualties to be blamed on Russia. So, you know, I don't know about these things. I do know that I've heard about it for years, read about it, that the plan is eventually to get the superpowers to attack each other. And we know that they're working this system towards its end. I mean, whether or not they plan on destroying the United States as what appears to be the plan and has been the plan and has been talked about since the 1960s and before, there's something coming that has to change everything. This system is so corrupt and criminal. The financial system is totally effete. It's hollowed out from the inside. It's all going to crumble. There's not going to be any more pensions paid. If you have precious metals or any other real assets being held anywhere, including stock certificates, they're duplicated. They've sold them multiple times. It's called rehypothecation. Assets have been sold over and over and over. If you haven't done so already, you should collect your physical things and bring them home and put them in your safe. Or if you have stock certificates and you think they're worth keeping, then get them in your hands physically. But for the most part, all paper assets are going to go down the drain here too. So whether or not we see something like this, but this is what is tried and true. It always works in the midst of scandal where the government is shown to be totally criminal and corrupt, which, by the way, government is just a superstition, a belief system that is itself corrupt. And there's no apparent reason whatsoever we have to have government except that it's been used to protect the elite from the masses. And so – and that's another long story. But we do have objective morality in this world, and morality is objective, and it is when – people give up that idea that morality is objective and is fluid, moral relativism as it's called, that's when civilizations begin to tumble into this absolute chaos that we see here today. And it's been experienced in Western countries before, and French Revolution, Bolshevik Revolution. Same thing is a caused situation. And then when it becomes obvious that they have done so, they pull the plug and mass chaos ensues. So keep an eye out for if you live in Seattle, maybe you want to get out of town on the weekend. I don't know. I think I would. And as far as Europe's concerned, if you're interested in the cities, et cetera, there's two in England, and Sweden is one. I'm not certain where the other cities are. I can't remember exactly. I think he said Brussels. But regardless, it's an interesting time for that sort of thing. And that's all the update I can give you on that, George.
Well, when you're dealing with a false flag scenario coming out, you're all observers. And, you know, they tried to pull one off here in Toronto, to get us into the Iraq war back then. And one of my listeners was right on the money. And he saw the buildup. And it was very, very important that he saw that because he knew to talk to me, and I was doing a lot of radio in Toronto at the time. So I went down there to look. He saw like a suburban convention in the docks on Cherry Street. And just back and forth, like 50 of them. Every couple of minutes going to this derelict ship, leaving, going downtown, coming back. Security presence like you've never seen, you know. And he inadvertently took pictures, and they came after him. Armed guys came after him. Give me your camera. you know, and he made a deal with them that, you know, he didn't see nothing, he didn't understand nothing. He let them delete the pictures off his camera and walked away with his camera. And then he told me, well, I went down there to check it out. And this was like the biggest security operation I've ever seen. I went there at night. So I put on blackface, but that was to cover myself from the light to spy on these buggers. And then the military came in with trucks loaded with explosives because they had the little safety sign on the back, explosives. And they went downtown, and I started to follow them. And the predictive programming in the paper was there was going to be a blast zone near the Toronto Stock Exchange and CSIS headquarters in the Globe and Mail. And I'm going like, this is no good. And they got wind of me, too, so I had to vacate and figure, well, I got to, the only thing I could do is blow their cover. So I did it on late-night radio on CFRB and just talked about the greenhouse gases and all the Suburbans, and they had to close it up. And then a month later, they arrested the alleged patsies, the Toronto 18 terrorists. But they were going to blow up our town, the heart of Liberalville, to get us to go into this war. So when you see stuff like that, you are you're in control of the ship. You're an American citizen, and you report it to wherever you can report it to get it juice so that it flies, and that you can prevent
pictures.
These attacks.
I mean, you got to get out there and take photos and see everything you can see. I mean, now that we know how these work, and we've seen the sort of things that they've been caught doing over and over and over.
If it smells bad, take lots of pictures.
That's exactly right. And it's funny, but I mean, my research is around the clock. I don't see any major event since 1850. In fact, I'm writing an article right now, which is nearly complete, about how there's no direction for humanity except the direction caused by false flag fear. So every event has been designed to move humanity in a particular direction since at least 1850 in the United States, and I'm certain I could go behind that. And so, you know, every single one of our recent wars, all of them have been created out of lies and deception, and then at least for the United States, our participation has been forced through a fake mass murder of large number of people by the same people that pretend to be their protectors. And, you know, humanity doesn't need this anymore. We don't need any more false flags. We don't need any more mass destruction of lives. And what about people's right to live their own life and to make decisions and to experience what life might bring without having a tyrannical monster always with their hands around your neck, sucking the very life out of it through taxation, through monetary system manipulation, through asset manipulation. I mean, we don't even know what the price of things like oil are, for example. We've never had an actual opportunity. We probably could buy oil for nothing. And yet, you know, they pretend in 1973 there's an oil shortage. This is a simple example. They're not really flag life that humanity has lived and accepted. And it's time for people to stop and primarily turn off that television and boycott. Boycott is, you know, why does the ADL and the SPLC and the other groups touting, you know, let's not boycott Israel. Boycotts work. Israel knows they work. Israel involved with boycotting, not Israel per se, but the nation of Israel boycotting Germany in 1933, which, you know, vastly harmed Germany. And anyway, we have to boycott. We boycott banking systems, the television, the degeneracy. I don't want to say networks on the air, but there are many networks that have been created today that are nothing but degeneracy. And pull the plug on your regular television. Mainstream media has no obligation to any truth, none. Their only obligation is to support the agenda for which they are being paid. When the enemy owns the media, the banking system, the medical system, the educational system, when they're in charge of all the primary Western governments in the world, and they print the money, they have and can get anything they want. So nothing they present is going to be harm them in any way, shape, or form. So expecting to get real news from the mainstream media is a delusion. And the alternative media has stumbled and fallen on itself. And you mentioned YouTube. I wanted to say very quickly, you know, you have the SPLC really happy now because they got involved with taking down RedIce.TV, which used to be Red Ice Radio. And 380-some thousand subscribers, plus their backup channel went down at the same time with 20,000 more. And the primary thing here is the SPLC couldn't get a single subscriber if they had to survive on their own ideas. I mean, it's a house filled with degeneracy, with moral depravity, with charges of child molestation. I mean, the membership is absolute disgusting filth, and yet they glee like howling animals that they got YouTube to take down something that has 380,000 subscribers and how many other millions of viewers that people get something out of positive and enjoy watching and sharing ideas. So we have to ask ourselves, what is really happening here? And it is time that we look at YouTube and boycott it, and we boycott Facebook and all the social media that is mainstream, and let these people flounder and die. YouTube deserves to die. Google needs to go with it. And all this spying and so, you know, we have to support things that are alternative platforms, no matter how small they are, that are growing, people with individual ideas, stuff outside of the offshore. I mean, outside of the 14 eyes. I mean, we live in a surveillance state that is a monolithic monster. It's the same everywhere. They're the same players, the same controllers behind the scene. No real leadership. All the leadership, as you've mentioned, but about Canada, I mean, you've got basically degenerate clowns. You have Caliglia in charge of Canada, and we have the same here. It's just packaged in a different form. Thank you, George.
If liberty means anything at all, it means the right to tell people what they do not want to hear. George Orwell. We win the battle by changing the channel. Change the channel to power our nation. Thanks for coming out. I'm your guest host from Canada, George Freund. With us, Jack Mullen. Isn't he wonderful? Thanks. You're wonderful, too. And we'll see you the next time out. Good day.
Thank you.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.